All right, y'all, welcome into another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming to you on a Friday night after a tough 7-1 Rangers loss. We'll break down everything in this game here in just a moment, all of the key moments, the highlights. We'll go through it all. It was a close game up until that bottom of the seventh inning, wasn't it? We'll get to all that in just a sec, but first, a lot of y'all know, but for those of y'all that are joining in new here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a little bit of extra emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers. Hope y'all are having a good Friday. We tried to time this just right with the Stars and Knights going to intermission. I know Mavs is getting pretty close to halftime, so no better time to try and hop on real quick so we can get to the end of both of those game fives. Pivotal, actually. Game fives in those series, actually for the Mavericks game six and Stars game six, my mistake. So let's get into this Rangers game. Then at the end, we'll talk a little Mavs. We'll talk a little Stars Knights as well. But for right now, big moment and probably the biggest moment in the Rangers game has to be the decision to take out Mike Lorenzen in the bottom of the seventh inning. That's pretty much where this game fell apart. I mean, the offense clearly was not in sync once again, but is that really a surprise right now? I mean, we've had a few bright spots here and there. Yesterday felt like was a little bit of a bright spot. We had, what, probably five different RBI singles yesterday. A little bit of a bright spot. We are playing the Nationals, not facing very good pitching, but I'll take yesterday. Tonight, though, pretty much seems like the Rangers are up to their old ways. Scoring once in the top of the third and not scoring again the rest of the game. This is a pretty common box score for the Rangers. Whole lot of zeros, maybe one or two innings where you score some runs sprinkled in, but otherwise a lot of zeros. So right now, I think the most important decision of the game has to be taking Mike Lorenzen out at 86 pitches. 86 pitches, you take Mike Lorenzen out. And Lorenzen was dealing in this game. I mean, yes, at the end, there were a few hard-hit baseballs. Made a mistake to Hunter Renfroe. And I know that Hunter Renfroe was going to be up in the inning that they took Lorenzen out. What's up to everybody, by the way, on YouTube and on all socials, on Instagram, Facebook. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You know we appreciate you. So I think Lorenzen could have gone another inning. It was the bottom of the order coming up. You had Melendez coming up, who was like in an 0-for-26 slump. I think he was one of the leadoff hitters of that inning. I don't really see why you couldn't have left Lorenzen in there. I know it's easy to play kind of the Monday morning quarterback game, and Bochy and Maddux are usually pretty good at knowing when to pull guys. And you have to remember, too, last start, Lorenzen pitched six shutout innings and then came out in the seventh inning and got shelled. Right? He had, I think, two homers hit off of him in the seventh inning the last time he was out there. So maybe that's in the back of their minds. I have to think that's in the back of their minds why you pull Lorenzen at 86 pitches when the dude's absolutely dealing. He had only really given up the home run to Renfroe and otherwise allowed seven base runners in six innings. I mean, that is a high-quality start. High-quality start from Lorenzen. Cole Winn had been pitching great in his major league career, and I've definitely sung Cole Winn's praises. He had not given up a run up until this game. I do think that this was a little bit of a tough spot for him. I know that eventually you've got to see what these guys can do in high leverage situations. You really do. You have to see what some of these guys have. And Cole Winn, I think he came in the ninth inning of a game and did a little four-run save, if you will. So he had some experience, but this was probably the most high-pressure situation Cole Winn came into. I know his major league debut, Rangers were losing, but he came in, I think, with bases loaded. Only gave up one run, and of course it was an inherited runner. But this was probably, I think, the most pressureful situation that Cole Winn has faced in his career, and didn't pass the first test. Royals are a good team. It's unfortunate that the bottom of the order is really what unraveled this one. The Royals' bottom of the order is really what gets this whole thing going, and that's what leads to the sixth spot that the Royals put up in the bottom of the seventh inning. And that's the difference in the ballgame. It was a 1-1 game going into the bottom of the seventh. Rangers did miss some opportunities today. We're going to get to those missed opportunities here in just a little bit, but let's round out the pitching side of things. So Cole Winn gets one out, no walks, but gave up four hits and five batters. Just not a good night for him. Four hits and five batters, that's not going to play. I really kind of am curious about the move. Would have thought maybe you would try and get maybe two innings out of Leclerc here. Leclerc's been pitching well. Say what you want about him. I know a lot of Rangers fans have mixed feelings about Jose Leclerc, but he has been pitching well. Leclerc, I think, is on a little bit of a scoreless streak at this point. He's fresh. A little surprised you wouldn't consider going Leclerc 7th and 8th. Maybe you give Robertson the night off, and you go Leclerc 7-8, and then you go Yates in the 9th. I think that would have probably been my play. Now, I don't know, obviously, what they have as a game plan going forward the rest of the series, but that probably would have been my move. Go to Leclerc in the 7th, see if you can get two out of Leclerc 7th and 8th, and then you go to Yates in the 9th if you have the lead. If you don't have the lead, then you potentially have to go a different direction. But that would have been my move there. Keep Lorenzen in, I think, alternatively. I think coming up bottom of the order, Lorenzen facing a guy in Melendez, would have faced a guy in Melendez who was 0 for his last 26 and hadn't gotten a hit off of Lorenzen yet. I think I would have left Lorenzen in the bottom of that seventh inning. He gets into trouble, and you know what? Sure, pull him, right? Mike Lorenzen gets into trouble in the bottom of the seventh, yank him, and then you go to somebody else. But I think Lorenzen was dealing, and I think it was a mistake at 86 pitches to take him out of the game. That being said, it's always easy to play Monday morning quarterback, so to speak. We know this. But I think that was a pivotal move, and it was the difference in the ballgame. We'll talk about hitting in just a moment, but what's up to everybody again on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, wherever you're watching. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll be checking comments throughout. If y'all have anything that you want to talk about, anything we need to vent out there, Rangers fans, put it in the comments. We'll get to it. If you got any questions for me, you want my take on something Rangers baseball, I'm here for it. We're coming at you, I think, at halftime now, the Mavericks game. Intermission probably coming close to an end. First intermission of the Stars-Knights game. So we'll talk some Rangers baseball in between. One of the biggest moments for the Rangers in the offense was the Marcus Semien at bat with the bases loaded. Marcus Semien comes up, bases loaded, two outs, and isn't able to get anything done, strikes out. I will say the umpiring tonight, I don't always go to this. So those of y'all that listen to me each night after the game, you know I don't harp too much on umpires night after night because you could literally do that every night if you wanted to play that game. You could rag on the umpires every game if you wanted to. But tonight, I do think that the umpiring behind home plate was exceptionally bad. I would love to see the auditor for the umpires. I forget what the account is called on Instagram that I follow, maybe just umpire auditor or something like that. I would love to see the grades for the home plate umpire for tonight's game. I mean, there were legitimately strikes that were called 6 inches below the strike zone tonight. The outside corner was very generous tonight. And in the Semien at bat, to bring it back full circle, in that Semien at bat with the bases loaded, what was that? In the seventh inning, I believe? In the seventh inning. You have 1-0, and then you get a terrible strike two call, which would have made the count 2-0, and that changes everything. A 2-0 count to Marcus Semien in the bottom, or in the top of the seventh with the bases loaded, that would have changed everything because the next pitch isn't going to be a sweeper low and outside on a 2-0 count. It's probably going to be something around the plate that Semien can handle, or you're potentially going to get a ball three situation. Now it goes to 3-0. Really, that strike call on Marcus Semien, that should have been a ball. We're talking the top of the seventh inning, Semien up to bat. It's 1-0. And then the second pitch of that at bat, it's a huge moment in the game. Semien 2-0 count in that spot with the bases loaded and the pitcher just totally on the ropes, right? He had given up the single to Jankowski. Evan Carter had already walked that inning, although Josh Smith grounds into the double play. So the pitcher for the Royals, they got finally gotten into the bullpen, had already given up a walk and two singles. Actually, two walks and two singles. So you had him on the ropes, and then the umpire bails him out with the generous strike call to Marcus Semien on a 1-0 count, and it changes the whole complexion of the at-bat. And I know that there's a lot of people out there, you know, whatever, it's part of the game. You got to get over it. I will still always maintain, yes, I do agree to an extent. It's a part of the game. I'm hopeful that it becomes less and less a part of the game over time. You all know that I am a huge proponent of going to, at minimum, a challenge system for balls and strikes. I think that it's been implemented very well in the minor leagues, and it could easily play in the majors. But at this point, it is just absolutely ridiculous in these high-pressure situations to have these bad of calls. And in my mind, I can't take the reason. It evens out. It's a part of the game. You just got to deal with it. These are huge moments in baseball games that can absolutely turn the tide of the game. Semien gets a hit there. Semien walks there. The Rangers are going up 2-1, and that changes everything. So a 2-1 lead going into the bottom of the seventh, who do you think's probably pitching for the Rangers? It's not Cole Winn. If the Rangers go up 2-1, I really struggle to think Cole Winn was coming in anyways. Maybe he was, but I would really like to think they're probably going Leclerc. They're probably going Robertson in the seventh. Maybe they're going some other direction. But a 2-1 lead going into the bottom of the seventh changes everything in this game. So that, to me, was the biggest moment. It was good to see Seager go 2-for-4 tonight after really, really being in a slump. I think it was pretty brutal. I want to go and check out the tweets that I got from some of the Rangers reporters. I want to say he was in like something like a 3-for-42 slump. I'm going to have to go back and check that. Corey Seager, I think it was a 3-for-42 slump that he was in before tonight. It was bad, guys. It was bad. 229 average now with the two-hit game. Of course, Seager had the only RBI in the game. So at this point, I'm just glad to see that he's putting up some numbers in the box score. Just glad to see it. So hopefully this might be a game where he builds on something. And you know what? Maybe just little by little, he gets back into that form, the Corey Seager that we all know, that we all love. Nate Lowe, 0-for-4. Dolley and Carter each get a base hit apiece. Carter also on base with a walk, so Carter on base twice tonight. Josh Smith finally breaks his 1-for-3 with a walk box score stat line, and he goes 0-for with 2 Ks tonight. Not his best game. Jankowski, 1-for-4 with a single. Kisner got the start tonight behind the dish. He goes 1-for-4. Not a lot going on when the Rangers only score one run, y'all. Not a lot to talk about offensively when the Rangers only score one. So that seventh inning, just where it all got away from the Rangers. Ureña came in, and you know what? He just didn't have his best stuff today. And you know what? It's tough, I think, for some of these guys when you're coming in to these losing ball games. It's been such a close, tense game. Then you give up the lead. You have to come in. I don't want to say mop-up duty, Ureña, but you got to come in. It's already 3-1. It's tough. I think that the mentality, it's something that you really, really have to do and have to focus with over and over again, especially for a guy like Ureña, who was a big-time starter for at least a couple of years when he came up with the Marlins. Now you're kind of in a different weird role in a bullpen. I think it's tough. Ureña gives up a home run to Perez, and that's what really breaks the game wide open, right? So at this point, we just kind of have to flush this one out, y'all. And hopefully Saturday and Sunday has something better in store for us. That is my hope. But tonight, Rangers bats go absolutely quiet. Singer, the KC starter, he had an incredible game. 8 strikeouts, only 4 hits allowed, only 4 base runners allowed. And really the only RBI was the Seager hit in the third inning. And other than that, he pitched a phenomenal ball game. Phenomenal ball game for Brady Singer, KC starter. And then the bullpen took over from there. I think it was Schreiber who was probably the most gettable guy tonight, but he gets out of the jam with the Marcus Semien strikeout, and that's all she wrote for the Rangers' opportunities. So we're on to tomorrow, but let's check out scores from around the AL West before we preview tomorrow's matchup for you. So we've got the A's beating the Marlins in Oakland 3-0. We have the Mariners and Astros beating each other up this weekend. We'll take that. Hopefully they can get a nice split. Nobody sweeping. Maybe a 1. I don't think it's a 4-game set. I think it's a 3-game set. I was going to say a 2-2 split would be great, but we'll take a 1-2 or a 2-1 either way. But the Mariners lose to the Astros in Houston tonight 5-3. Astros 12-20. So that means that the Rangers stay one game out of first place. So thank you to Houston for keeping the Mariners close. Astros are now, I believe, 4 or 5 games out of first place. And then other than that, the Angels beat the Guardians today in Cleveland, 6-0. And that's the AL West roundup, y'all. So kind of a mixed bag, but at least the Rangers stay within a striking distance, one game, actually a half game of first place. We'll take it. A's are 2 games out, and they would, I believe, go up to a game and a half out with a win tonight. Game and a half out, the Oakland A's. Can you guys believe it? I would not ever have guessed in a million years that a month into the season, the A's would be a game and a half out of first place. My goodness. Astros, 5 games out, and the Angels are 5 games out as well. So the worst division in baseball, as many are calling it, it looks pretty mediocre right now. We got 17-15, 17-16, 15-17, 1-2-3. Worst division in baseball, a few people called it. I heard today just on baseball talk shows, stuff like that. It's definitely looking like that's the case right now for the AL West. So let's look at the matchup for tomorrow. Let's check things out, see what's going on for Saturday's game, and then we'll wrap things up from there, talk a little Mavericks, talk a little Stars Knights. So at this point, tomorrow, we've got Dane Dunning pitching. Dunning had 10 strikeouts his last time out. Expecting him to build off of that performance. He will be facing Michael Wacha. And as we look at the preview, we look at the numbers that each team has against each pitcher. Looks like for KC, Frazier, second baseman, has faced Dunning 13 times, .231 average. Looks like Isbell, center fielder, has a home run and is 1-for-3 with that bomb. And then beyond that, a lot of guys with 5 or less at-bats against Dane Dunning. But Isbell, the only guy with a home run against Dunning. Everybody else, mixed numbers. Bobby Witt, 1-for-5. Renfro, 0-for-4. Salvi, 1-for-5. So look, a lot of mixed numbers. Hopefully Dunning can come out and match the performance that he brought last time out. 10 strikeouts. Hey, I'll take 7+. And Dunning, one of the big things that he did in his last start is he limited walks. I think that's going to be a key again in this game, limit the walks. And I think things are going to go very well for Dane Dunning. I really do. Michael Wacha on the other side. The Rangers have not seen him too much. There's only 6 Rangers that have faced Michael Wacha in their career. Seager has seen him the most and is 6-for-12 off Michael Wacha. So I think we'll take Seager, just kind of thinking about our predictions right now for tomorrow. I think we'll take Seager to build off of his 2-hit game today. Corey Seager, 6-for-12 in his career against KC starter Michael Wacha, who is the probable starter for the Royals for tomorrow. Marcus Semien, 1-for-4. Kisner, he won't be playing tomorrow. He's 0-for-2. Jankowski, 1-for-3. Don't think we'll see Jankowski tomorrow. And Jonah Heim is 0-for-1. So not a lot of guys have seen Michael Wacha on the Rangers. We'll see what we get. As we always say, when that's the case, it's always kind of a 50-50 proposition, whether or not we're going to have a big game from the bats or whether it might be a little bit of tough sledding. So I would say right now with how the Rangers are hitting, I think the latter is probably a little bit more likely. That being said, in baseball, all it takes sometimes is a couple big hits to get that win. I think that's kind of the mode the Rangers are in right now. They need a couple of clutch hits per game in big spots. Tonight, it was the Marcus Semien bases loaded moment. You hate to put it all on Semien, I'm not. But that was a huge moment in the game. It's 1-1. You got one of your best hitters up and you strike out. That's tough. And the way the Rangers are going right now, those are the opportunities that they have to cash in on. If you can't cash in with the bases loaded, you are not going to win a lot of ball games. And the Rangers, I think their last 3 opportunities with the bases loaded, well, I guess technically, right, you had bases loaded, nobody out a couple of games ago, like twice, right? That was 2 games ago. So Rangers are like 0 for their last 7 with the bases loaded. Not good. Going 0 for with the bases loaded in your last 7 tries, that's not going to lead to a lot of success. So the Rangers have to take advantage of the opportunities that they get. I see similar things happening tomorrow. I guarantee the Rangers are probably going to get a couple of big moments here and there, and it's going to come down to, are they going to deliver? Are the guys that are getting those chances with runners in scoring position going to come through? the Rangers right now are only getting a few of those chances per game. It's not like every inning there's runners on second and third. It feels like, hey, maybe three or four innings you're getting runners on second and third and opportunities to score. That's just how it's going for the Rangers offense right now. Now, as we look at the box score and the averages with runners in scoring position, Rangers tonight, 1-for-6. I think they were 5-for-14 yesterday in their win over the Nationals. 5-for-14 will play. 1-for-6. I think they were 1-for-9 two games ago. So I'm not a math guy. I can't do the quick math in my head on that one. But the Rangers need to do a better job with runners in scoring position. They need guys to clutch up and take advantage. With how the offense is hitting right now, the Rangers cannot afford to not cash in on these big moments with the bases loaded, runners on second and third, and all the rest. So hopefully the bats can give Dane Dunning some support, some run support tomorrow. I think Dane Dunning is going to continue doing a nice job as he has, striking out a lot of batters, hopefully limiting the walks. That's what we look to see from him. And then looking at Sunday's game, which we're going to break down and preview for you a lot more tomorrow. But looking forward, we got John Gray going Sunday. So look, I think very competent pitching going the next 2 days. It's just going to be a matter of the bats. Can the bats please get going? I mean, look, I love a good pitcher's duel, trust me. But the Rangers have to stop leaving it up to the bullpen at the end of games. Give this bullpen a little bit of breathing room. The bullpen has been fantastic the last week, the last 2 weeks. The bullpen has been outstanding. Can we just give the bullpen some breathing room occasionally? It was nice in the game yesterday. At least we didn't have to burn Yates yesterday. It took us a little while to give the bullpen some cushion yesterday, but we got it done. But can we just give the bullpen some cushion, please? We don't need to have a 1 or 2 run game every single time out. It's okay, guys. It's okay to have a 6-run, a 5-run, a 4-run lead in the 7th inning. Just never seems like it's happening for the Rangers right now. So Rangers are going to have a great chance with the pitching, I think, the next 2 games. Can the hitting come through? That's the big question. Corey Seager, 6-for-12, off, probable starter for the Royals, Michael Wacha. Hopefully this is the weekend for Seager to get going. Man, I'm hoping for that. Keeping my fingers crossed for it. So tomorrow, we'll be back at you after the Rangers-Royals game, which is a 1:10 Texas start tomorrow. So we'll hop on sometime early evening, late afternoon. Let's take a look at the Mavericks and Clippers score. Looks like it is 60-52 in the third quarter, and we still have a 0-0 game, Knights and Stars, close to halfway through the second period. So we're going to go and watch those here in a minute. Got to talk about Nate Eovaldi, though, real quick. For those of you that didn't hear, Evo goes on the injured list today. Yeri Rodriguez recalled. Kind of thought maybe Leiter would be the one that they brought back up. I mean, that just kind of made sense. Leiter's the starter. Yeri Rodriguez, bullpen guy. Maybe we're going to be seeing a bullpen game here early next week. Wouldn't shock me. But Nate Eovaldi on the injured list. Strained groin, I believe, in the 6th inning of last night's game. Really, really unfortunate news for the Rangers. I mean, when it rains, it pours. Rangers probably have the most elite IL pitching rotation in baseball. You've got Max Scherzer, Nate Eovaldi, you've got Cody Bradford, you've got Jacob DeGrom. Rangers probably have the most elite IL pitching staff in baseball right now. So we'll see what happens with Evo. I'm not sure if there's a timetable at this point. Evo has obviously dealt with some injuries the past couple of years, and I would expect the Rangers to be cautious with him. But I think that this is largely precautionary, if I had to guess. Just based on all the reports I read, really sounds like they're going to try and skip him in the rotation at least one time, maybe two, just give him a little bit of time off. It's unfortunate timing, but look, the Rangers' problem is not pitching right now. Even the guys that are not the Rangers' aces or horses or whatever you want to call them, those guys are performing. Mike Lorenzen? I mean, a guy who most of us didn't even think was going to be on the team going into spring training. Mike Lorenzen has been one of our best pitchers. John Gray's pitching great. Dane Dunning's pitching great. So I'm really not that fazed by the Evo injury. Really not that fazed. In fact, I think the Rangers are going to be fine. It's not pitching that's the problem right now. It's the hitting. They have got to figure out how to get this offense going. The pitching is doing outstanding. In fact, I think they're going to continue to be just fine. A little concerning that some of these guys get, you know, keep getting nicked up. You know, you had Scherzer, who was looking like he was going to be back early May. Now he's going to get pushed back a little bit, kind of suffering an additional injury. Nothing crazy, but, you know, Cody Bradford, same way. You know, kind of another injury with the ribs comes after the initial injury with, I think he had like shoulder soreness or something. So a little concerning that, you know, we're suffering and experiencing multiple injuries for some of these guys when they're already on the IL. I mean, I don't claim to be any kind of medical expert, but it just sucks. You wish that the Rangers could get fully healthy and really see what this team can do when everybody is at 100%. I sure can't wait to see it when Josh Young is back, when Scherzer, DeGrom, when all those guys are back. I cannot wait for that. We're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to be patient. I have a feeling that the Rangers are just going to flirt with 500 and just ping pong back and forth. You keep waiting for this team to reel off like 5-6 straight wins. It's just not quite coming. I just have this feeling that we're just going to see this team do this for a little while. Win a couple, lose a couple, you know, win two, lose one, you know, maybe win three in a row and then lose a couple. I just feel like for right now, until everybody gets back healthy, this back and forth game might continue for the Rangers. Just my thought. I hope to be wrong. Hopefully a 7-game win streak is right around the corner, y'all. That is the hope. But I just feel like until they get to 100%, the Rangers just need to survive April, survive May. And then as you get into the summer, you get the reinforcements back. And hopefully things just go up from there. Now, we are going to get back to watching sports. We're going to go and watch the rest of this Mavs game. 60-54, 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Again, Stars and Knights just about halfway through the second period. 0-0 deadlock. It's going to be a tight one, y'all. Should be a great, great finish. Want to say thank you once again to everybody that's tuning in, whether it's live, whether it's after the fact. Appreciate your support. Thanks for liking this. And thank you for following, subscribing. Sorry, can't talk. Subscribing and sharing this with a Rangers fan. That would be so awesome. And something exciting. I know I talked about this already, but we are now on all of the major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Samsung, Amazon, all those. So I know clearly a lot of y'all that are watching live right now prefer the video format, but if you ever can't catch the video, want to just listen instead, we put all of our lives into podcast format as well. So there's yet another option for you. Lastly, we upped the ante a little bit on our system that we're doing this year, betting 1 cent for every follower on Texas Rangers Moneyline. We took an L tonight. We actually added in some TikTok followers into the mix. So we're combining Facebook and TikTok followers right now. Bet was up to around $42 today. Hopefully, we will continue to go upwards on the rise with our profits in this system that we're doing. But tomorrow, we'll have a video out for y'all. We'll give you an update on the system. Hope to get back on track at the hands of Dane Dunning pitching another beautiful game. That's the plan. Well, thanks, y'all. Hope you are having a good Friday night. If I don't see y'all this weekend, hope you have a good weekend as well. And as we always say, God bless and go Rangers. Hope y'all have a good one.